Hare Krishna. Japa Book, Chapter 3, The Function and Nature of the Mind. Kapila Muni describes the mind in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3.26.14, as follows. Mano buddhir ahankaras chittam ityankaratmakam chaturdha lakshate bedo vritya lakshana rupaya. The internal subtle senses are experienced as having four aspects in the shape of the mind, intelligence, ego, and contaminated consciousness. Distinctions between them can be made only by different functions, since they all represent different characteristics. While all four subtle senses, mind, mana, intelligence, buddhi, false ego, ahankara, and covered consciousness, chittam, make up the subtle body, each descends in subtlety from consciousness to false ego to intelligence to the least subtle of the four, the plotting mind. Although the mind and the false ego are in practical terms the same, the mind is functionally less refined than the false ego. We tend to think that the main obstacle to focused chanting is the mind, but it is the subtle of false ego that is causing the problem. The mind, being grosser, is subordinate to the false ego and serves it by maintaining and protecting it. In his song Keno Hari Krishna Nam, Sri Labhaktivinoda Thakur actually refers to a conditioned soul's self-concept as Maner Manus, the mentally imagined mind, the false sense of self. Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita 7.27 indicate how the mind functions in its protective service. The mind provides a sense of duality to help the false ego maintain its illusory sense of being Lord in the world. Quote, O scion of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arising from desire and hate. Srila Prabhupada speaks of this dualistic functioning of the mind. The distinctions between happiness and distress in the material world of duality are simply mental concoctions, for the so-called happiness and distress are actually one and the same. They are like the happiness and distress in dreams. A sleeping man creates his happiness and distress by dreaming, although actually they have no existence. The mind is the via media in both dreams and wakefulness, and everything created by the mind in terms of sankalpa and vikalpa, acceptance and rejection, is called manodharma, or mental concoction, end quote, from the Srimad Bhagavatam 6.17.30 purport. If we are insulted by someone, the mind rises to defend. If we are praised, the mind is pleased and considers the praise giver intelligent. In both instances, the mind protects the false self and thereby assists us to maintain our ignorance of our true self. Who is that true self? Who are we? When we entered this world, we acquired a covering of ahankara, which provides us with a false sense of identity. This false identity is all we know. Then, who are we according to our false identity? We might be anything. There are 8,400,000 species to choose from, divided into innumerable classifications. The false ego can adopt any one of these bodily identities and the mind and intelligence that go with them to create a sense of self. The false ego will embrace any identity other than its true eternal sense of self, the identity as Krishna's loving servant. The false ego so fills our consciousness that we forget that we belong to Krishna and he to us. Srimad Bhagavatam tells us that the mind is a transformation of egoism and goodness, Bhagavatam 3.26.27. Intelligence is a transformation of egoism and passion, Bhagavatam 3.26.28. The mind's business is to protect both our false understanding and our forgetfulness of Krishna, and uses the two mechanisms of sankalpa and vikalpa, acceptance and rejection, to do so. The intelligence, which is passionate by nature, serves the subtle false self by making plans to satisfy the mind's fluctuations between these two polarities. It may be surprising to think of the mind as influenced by goodness and the intelligence by passion, because we usually consider the intelligence higher than the mind and goodness higher than passion. But the intelligence is constantly scheming for the future and reframing the past, both functions of Rajagun. We experience the reality of the interaction between the mind and intelligence every day. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11:13-9-10, Lord Krishna explains the interaction between false ego, mind, and intelligence to his devotee Uddhav in slightly different language. Quote, "My dear Uddhav, a person bereft of intelligence first falsely identifies himself with the material body and mind. And when such false knowledge arises within one's consciousness, material passion, which is the cause of great suffering, pervades the mind, which by nature is situated in goodness. Then the mind, contaminated by passion, becomes absorbed in making and changing many plans for material advancement. Thus, by constantly thinking of the modes of material nature, a foolish person is afflicted with unbearable material desires. The entire material world, gross matter and the subtle body, which includes the mind, intelligence, false ego, and contaminated consciousness, has been created simply to maintain our delusion that we are something other than servants of Krishna. The mind has its specific function of acceptance and rejection. We accept specific objects that the mind identifies as pleasurable and become averse to others categorized as unpleasant or sources of misery." Again, Bhagavad Gita 7:27 states, "Icha dvesha samutena vanva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammohan sarga yante parantapa." O seer of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arising from desire and hate. We are born into this world bewildered by desire, icha, and aversion, dvesha. And we fill our time following the mind with a passionate intelligence, trying to satisfy its demands. Yoga practitioners have been aware of this dynamic for thousands of years. Patanjali wrote in his Yoga Sutras, "Yoga Chittavritti Nirodha." The purpose of yoga practice is to stop the mind from its fluctuations based on sankalpa and vikalpa. If we are successful in this, the effects of the material energy will stop, and the mind, which by nature wants to support the false sense that we are meant to enjoy this world, will slow down and settle back into its source, the mode of goodness. Satvat sanjayate gyanam. Just by moving the overactive mind towards goodness, even by simply slowing it down as in Buddhistic style meditation, one nears transcendence. Okay. Hare Krishna. That's the end of chapter 3 of Japa.